This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Video stream up and running as always. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, /X. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows. Coming up a little bit later on in the show today, 12:30, J.J. Cooper of Baseball America going to join us. You know we're going to talk some Cags.
Who are we going to talk about?
I think
What are you guys
Cags.
Thinking?
Honestly, not just Cags, though. I want to ask about Noah Cameron a little bit, too, because he's the fifth rated prospect in the Royals system, and he, of course...
How long until he graduates?
Yeah, I don't know how that works, the exact cutoff. That's a great question. We can ask him if you
I
really
don't
want to
remember.
Know.
I don't know. Is it a couple works. Of months, a month? I can't remember exactly the timeline.
Eventually, you obviously phase out. You're not a prospect anymore, but I don't know what the cutoff is.
Yeah.
Is it games? Is it innings? I have no clue how that works.
That'll be exciting to talk about him. We'll obviously give you a Jack Watch here in just a minute, as it's important to know that he bounced back pretty well.
Yeah, Dusty's updating
night,
the board.
Out.
The whiteboard behind you, he is still in here, and he is updating with new numbers. 8 games worth of data for one Jack Caglione.
Yeah, it seems like it's going just fine. I will say, on my drive into work, can I make one mild complaint right before we start and talk about Noah Cameron?
Complaint?
What's wrong with you all with not turning on your lights when driving in the rain?
Wipers on, lights on.
Too many of you. Not just for the legality part of it. I've obviously broken a lot of laws. We've covered that on this show. The point is that I'm not trying to get like slammed into or have you slam into me or anything else in between just because you can't turn your lights on. It's real easy, I'll say. Anymore, like, and especially if you got a car that's
newer
made like
cars or
probably
auto.
Your car. Yeah, your car or newer. Yeah. You just put the auto function on and you don't even worry about it.
Yeah, newer cars have the auto function, so it usually takes care of itself. Mine is not, no.
Oh, man. You got to just turn it on old school, huh?
I do, yeah. It's a 2013, man.
Does it beep when you... Does it beep if you leave them on, like, will your battery die?
Yes. I turn the car off, it'll do that. And I have the blind spot monitoring and everything, too, but I doesn't... 2013 did not have the standard auto, you know, halogen lights or LED, whatever the new stuff is now.
Man, you're getting... So not the auto lights. I'm just saying, turn them on.
Yeah.
That's all.
Because Cody,
Cody might
stop on the highway and you might rear-end him.
I don't need to.
Not that that's happened before.
No, it was the other way around and it sucked. That's all. It was a small observation this morning coming in and I was very annoyed by it.
I thought it was related to Noah Cameron or something. I was like, what did you...
I was very excited. No complaints about Noah Cameron.
Let's start there.
What complaint would I have about Noah
Cameron?
Yeah,
let's start there. How about we start with Noah Cameron because he did make some history last night. He is just the second pitcher since 1893, according to Elias Sports Bureau.
So like tungsten armo duel or whatever.
Yeah. He's the second pitcher since 1893 with 6 1/3 or more innings pitched and one run or less in his first four now MLB starts. Look, the first one, he might have said, okay, you know what? Nice outing. you know, little luck, whatever. Great defense behind them.
You see what the gloves looked like in those days, yeah. Man? They were practically just catching with their bare hands.
And I would argue last night, out of his four outings in terms of like the way he pitched, might have been his worst stuff since he's been up. And yet he still...
Since maybe his head is like first start, yeah.
Yeah, and yet he was able to go out there and once again gave you a great chance to win a game. You end up getting some offense to back him up, a little bit of offense to back him up. And then Carlos gets you four outs to get the save, his 15th of the season. So Noah Cameron continues to be an unbelievable story for this team while Reagans and Lugo are on the IL. And that's what I think the conversation has to turn to. What the hell did you do here? It's a good problem to have.
Oh, it's a great problem to have.
We had Vern on yesterday, and Vern said, like, yeah, they might just send them back down to Omaha when those guys are back. The way he's pitching, can you do that? Do you do that?
Okay, so there are only two realistic options available to you in this situation. One is to just send him down, like you did the last time. Remember when he was in the middle of a no-hitter, and then you decided to send him back down to the minor leagues because that's life as a minor leaguer? But now since then, he's come back up and made three excellent level starts for your team. So I got to be honest, the wanting to send him down thing is really slowing down my want to send him
down. I don't know if anybody wants to send him down. It's just, do they, yeah. You know, you mentioned the options. Like, what, Michael Lorenzen,
the
is
only other
your
choice is
starter.
To send Lorenzen to the bullpen.
Yeah.
I view it as only the two choices. You either send him back down and he continue makes his start in AAA, or you concede Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen. And while I'll tell you, that is a risky proposition because as of right now, or you can trade Michael Lorenzen or trade Noah Cameron way too early. And I got to be honest, that seems unlikely at best to be a good solution. And like finding a trade partner is going to be borderline impossible. But if you send Lorenzen to the bullpen, then you risk it. I think you just send Cameron down for a couple of starts. You hope Lorenzen catches fire. And then come June 18th, you find a team looking for a starter, or he's a sweetener, or they've seen enough to kind of know he can start again, and you make that choice. I honestly think they're going to send him down. It kind of bums me out because he's done everything to deserve to stay at the big league level. And he's been phenomenal.
And he's a great insurance option to have for everything because there will be some other injuries, perhaps. I think the other option we're not considering, it's a short-term option, is, hey, Lugo, maybe he's available this weekend, but Cole Reagans, does he, you know what? He's got the groin injury twice now so far. Would it hurt to give him an extra week? Maybe he goes and does a rehab assignment in AAA. Omaha, and it just, you drag it out, you buy yourself another week or so.
But you got to convince Reagans to just drag out his rehab, yeah.
You let him rest, knowing this about the long haul. You had the same injury twice already, so we don't want to push this thing. He gives you the luxury to be patient. Maybe that's the short-term fix, because one of two things is going to happen with Lorenzen, I think. Let's be real, as great as he's been, the last two outings have not been as sharp for him. So does he bounce back in this next outing? Or if he struggles for a third straight outing, well, I would argue his trade value is already being impacted. So yeah, you move into the bullpen and it might hurt some of Lorenzen's trade value. But if he continues to, if he has a third or fourth outing in a row where he struggles, well, that's also hurting his value. So I think a lot of this is going to sort itself out. You know, people on the text line, 913-586-7965, mentioning, you know, a six-man rotation. But I think a lot of this gets figured out because Lorenzen, one way or the other, either he starts pitching better again, or if he doesn't, then I think both trade value, whether you put him in the bullpen or leave him in the rotation, is getting impacted, and so maybe you're not as concerned about that.
I guess, do you try to trade? So, like, Michael Lorenzen, of the available starters right now, let's say the six guys, and, you know, some of them we just know they'd never trade, but of the six guys, Michael Lorenzen has the worst value of the six. Where does Lugo rank versus Noah Cameron? Where does Bubich rank amongst Reagans and Waka? Like, if you were, and Waka, he's in a multi-year deal. So, like, let's just rule out. Reagans and Waka are just instant no-goes. Like, they're never going to even be brought up in a
Lugo,
trade discussion.
Cameron,
under any
Bubich, and Lorenzen are really the only four. And I'm not moving on from Bubich. I'm not trading Bubich. To me, it's a Lugo, Lorenzen, Noah Cameron conversation. If you're in favor of trading a pitcher to go help you get a bat, one way or the other.
And that's the case. It's like, I don't know, man. For a Royals organization, I just got to say, for a team and budget and all these other things, find me an example of a team trading away a starter with 6 years of control, even if you think he projects as a fifth, maybe he doesn't continue to be this, and you're just saying he's the next Michael Lorenzen. Well, he's free Michael Lorenzen. He makes $800,000 a year. So, like, I don't know any team at the market size of Kansas City in that would let go of that. So, okay, now we're down to three. Now we're down to Lorenzen, Bubic, and Lugo. Lugo, I think, or Bubic having the highest value, Lugo being the easiest moved with the medium value, and Lorenzen being the hardest to move with the lowest value. And so it starts to feel like, unless you can find an early trade, and again, this goes back to the same thing we were talking about, the Royals trading for a bat. Most teams won't trade with you right now. Look, in my dream scenario, the Royals trade with the Boston Red Sox, a team that has so many outfielders, they can't even call up one of the five best prospects in baseball who plays the outfield because they don't have the room for him, and have a middle-of-the-road baseball team ERA and a middle-of-the-road starting pitching ERA, a team that seems like a logical trade partner. And the Red Sox are like, you know what? Let's do it now. We'll give you one of our outfielders. You give us Lorenzen and a really good prospect. Or, you know, and we'll make this whole thing work out for everybody. But I don't think that that's going to happen. So I think realistically what's going to happen is they're just going to send him down. And Lorenzen is coming off of two bad starts. There's no doubt about that. But before, and he's having a bad month. And so, like,
that's why I think this next start coming up for him is going to be big. Interesting to watch. If he struggles again, then I wonder if you're more willing to consider a move to the bullpen.
He also has a start this month where he went seven shutout innings and only allowed three hits, and seven innings in which he only allowed three hits and two runs a start ago. And so it's like, I know he's had three bad starts this month, but he's had two excellent starts this month. If he has another, he's a fifth starter.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate him. I don't like, and that's what's been so crazy about Noah Cameron. Like, just to make it about him for a minute. Blown away with what he has given them in the time in which Lugo and Reagan's been down. They've gone 500 so far, 5-5 in the time that they have missed their number one and number two starters. What more can I ask for?
No, he's been sensational for them. Yeah, he's been sensational. Again, it's a good problem to have with where they're at. I think one thing we have to consider when we're mentioning the options and also potential trade candidates and things like that is we know that a lot of these guys on the staff last year pitched a career high in innings.
Yeah.
We also know that Chris Bubic is still going to be in some sort of
some
pitch inning limitation. Now, they have some days they can buy some off days and things like that as we go through the season. But, I you know, as much as it's a good problem to have, there's also the aspect of there's a very good chance in the next month and a half or 2 months. Just this is not hoping it happens, but this is the reality of baseball. Heck, they've already had Reagan's and Lugo on the IL. They were so healthy last year. There's a very good chance one of the names we've mentioned is going to end up on the IL again in the next 2 months. I'm sorry. That's just the reality of baseball. So would you rather say, wow, shoot, we shouldn't have traded away that. Man, it's a shame we traded away that guy. Would have been nice to have him as our fifth star. So like, there's a little bit of that too. Is it the worst thing in the world
to have six guys
Noah Cameron,
and float in between?
For Noah Cameron, unfortunately, to go back down to AAA, but know that you've got this stud ready to roll if and when there's another injury, or it's the time to make a trade and we feel more comfortable make that trade. I know we all want to see Cameron continue to pitch up here because he's been awesome. But it'd be one thing if pitching was struggling and he was the bright spot in an otherwise bad rotation. That's not what this is at all. He's just continued to do what everybody else has done, and it's really impressive because it was unexpected. Him going to AAA, while him personally, that'd be a big bummer because he's done nothing to deserve that, right?
That. He's earned his role.
I don't think it's this terrible, like, miscalculation, in handling if they send him back down to AAA and wait for his next opportunity, which could be 2 weeks from now, could be 2 months from now.
I do think that the part of, like, the Lorenzen part of the bullpen, which would intrigue me very much if I were the Royals, and his ERA did balloon yesterday, Noah Cameron's, to 1.05.
Oh, boy.
Over one. What's even the point? Maybe that's how he ends up back in AAA. No, I'm kidding, obviously. But when the one thing I think we sometimes talk about, like, hey, we really want Lorenzen to pitch well. On May 29th, I'm not so sure that Lorenzen's value based on his entire major league career has already been settled. Even if you put him in the bullpen, teams still know they can start him. They still know what he offers as a starter. I don't know fundamentally that you really, honestly, I'm not really sure you really change much of his value or the value game on Lorenzen by putting him in the bullpen. People know who he is. What do we think? Teams are so knee-jerk that they're going to watch Lorenzen make two more ace-level starts, and then they're going to be like, you know what? I wasn't convinced before, but now I'm in. They got all the scouting reports. miles long on this guy, and they understand he can.
Yeah, but you know that's not how how trade stuff works, though. I mean, it's the same reason why on the hitting end, Ryan O'Hearn all of a sudden is being viewed as the hottest rental bat. The dude has never done this in his entire career, but he's going to go and get quite a nice haul for somebody or for the Orioles when they trade him later this year.
Ryan O'Hearn, man.
Like, but what he's doing this year is nothing he's ever done before. I get what you're saying, like maybe the individual role. But
I think
like,
Lorenzen's a little more, that's fair.
He's established. I get it. My point, I guess, is just that like, hey, if you're hot for a year and you got, you know, you're a rental, that what you did 5 years before, and some years just doesn't matter anymore. Like somebody needs a bat. Somebody needs a starting pitcher.
I guess
I'm
not even saying that. I'm just saying like these two starts versus everything else we've seen this year, right? Gotcha. Not even so much like some of it's his career, but some of it is just he's proven what he can do as a starter this year. He will be a quality back in starter for you. He will sometimes give you really good starts to give you every chance to win. He will sometimes flounder a little bit, and that's mostly been who he's been, a huge part of his 11-season MLB career. And so, you know, I don't know that his value's changing much if you put him in the bullpen, just because everyone would understand it. The other option is the guy who has a 1.05 ERA who seems to just, no matter what happens, deals every time he comes out.
Yeah, like the text from the 816, keep him, play the best players, period, pitch Noah Cameron.
I hear you,
but like, okay, then what's your next move then? Is it just the simple Lorenzo in the bullpen? Like, there has to be another alteration to it. Yeah. I don't.
What are you doing?
I doubt they're doing it. I mean, a six-man rotation with off days and stuff.
What's
the last
team who did that, by the way?
Does anybody really do that anymore?
No, I've never. I've covered baseball, or we've talked about baseball a long time. I can't think of the most recent example or any example of a team actually doing a six-man rotation. So
because it's very easy just to say, like, keep Noah Cameron up.
10-man rotation, who cares?
There has to still be a spot.
Well, and here's the problem with the risk of a six-man rotation is you risk throwing off guys who are used to throwing every 5 days, and Cole Reagans and Lugo and Waka, and does that throw off and Bubich, and does that throw off what they've been doing? Pitchers are regimented. I don't know.
I think that's why it'd be very tempting with how bad the offense has been to be like, you know what? We're going to trade Lorenzen and we're going to piece together somebody else, or we're going to get that outfielder. Period. We're going to do whatever it takes.
Right.
We just can't make that
trade today, though, is the issue. Yeah. Nobody's trading for anybody at this point in time. It's still too early. Yeah. I think we're 3 weeks away before that's a real thing. Maybe you can say 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks away. But the question is, are you getting less because you're trading them early? Would you get more a little bit later? It's an interesting spot they're in. This is why it's a fun conversation, because there's a lot of different options that they have. But Noah Cameron, it's a good thing, has forced the issue maybe a little bit here.
Not funny. Funny enough, 2 days ago, there's an article at MLB.com that the general manager of the Mariners is considering a six-man rotation. As they've got, because the Mariners also can pitch.
Yeah, that same article said, though, that they have not talked about it with their players at all, and they haven't implemented it.
I'm not saying can't kick it around, and I'm certainly open to the concept of it, but man, you got to get every single starting pitcher on board. You got to be sure every single one of your guys is cool with pitching every 6 days instead of every five. And here's part of it is just comfort, because I told you, like, if you ever talk to a pitcher, you've had these conversations, very routine oriented. They handle day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exactly the same way. They ramp up in the same way. They do all these things. They have a routine, and you risk throwing it off. But the other part about this, and it's small, admittedly, and as you're a team trying to win, you don't have to kowtow to it, but like money. Chris Bubich is playing for a contract, Gold. He would like to make the four starts you're going to make him miss by going to a six-man rotation. Maybe don't want to miss those. Maybe Lugo doesn't want to miss, though. You know, and it's small, but, like, it is kind of, I don't know, it's tough. It's a tough spot.
We'll get back into Noah.
Love that he's pitching great, though.
Yeah, we'll get back into Noah Cameron and the good problem that the Royals have potentially coming up with Lugo and Reagans maybe coming off the IL here very soon. It sounds like, based on some reporting last night, that Lugo is maybe potentially in line to pitch this weekend, whereas Reagans could require a rehab stint, you know, wherever that may be, however the schedule works out, before he could come back up and pitch for the big league club. Thinking of the Royals, though, we know the offense still continues to be the headliner and the number one priority and issue with this club at this point in time. Now that we know the calendar will turn to June this weekend, and we recognize the potential additions that may come via minor leagues slash the desire to go out and trade for somebody at some point, if I were to fast forward to August, because you and I disagreed a little bit yesterday on the, hey, this team compared to last year's team at this date, but we both understood that, like, there's a chance fast forward 2 months from now.
We'll see what they look like last day of August, first day, whatever.
So let's fast forward to the end of August for a second and have an interesting conversation about the lineup. How many bats that are currently in the lineup? Let's just say on most days, I understand the lineup changes some days, but let's just say the majority of what the lineup has been. How many of those nine players will be in the lineup on the last day of August?
Okay, so let's get the locks out of the way.
Let's take the injuries also. Like, obviously, we're going to assume guys are staying healthy.
Yeah. Let's take the locks. We know India, Witt, yep. Vinny, Salvi, Michael.
Vinny, Isbell, I think. I think Isbell will be in the lineup for sure.
He's having a career year.
We know the glove plays as well in center field. So I think there's six guys that, assuming health, no matter what, are in the lineup at the end of August.
So now we're really just asking.
Three.
September 1st, August 31st, we're a month away from postseason baseball. Are Drew Waters, I guess John Rave right now, right, we would say, maybe? Who'd you put as the other? Or Michael Massey. Will any of those three guys be in the starting lineup come, you know, the end of August, a month away?
Not on a regular basis. There'll be a little bit of a platoon or something going on there. Because I think Jack Caglione is obviously the seventh guy that's going to be in this lineup. External trade candidate, name your guy, eight. And then there's one guy or two or three.
The other guys are essentially sharing the job out there as the platoon outfielder. But I guess the part is, like, they're still going to choose one guy more regularly than the other.
Most likely there's an injury. That's all. We're not factoring in there. Reality is probably somebody that we're mentioning is going to be hurt at some point.
You know what helps Drew Waters more than the rest? One, he's having a better year than John Rave, who's barely been up in the big leagues, and Michael Massey, who is playing a little bit better these last couple of weeks, but has still had a struggling year, is when Cags comes up, he's a lefty. Don't you want Drew Waters in the switch hitter? Look at the lineup right now, right? India, Bobby, Vinny, you get the lefty. Salvi and Garcia, back-to-back righties. Do you really want to put 2-3 lefties down there? Can you move Cags up? I mean, right, and Isbell's a lefty. They are a lefty-heavy lineup. When they start going to look for bats gold, something tells me they'll be looking for a right-handed power bat. That's probably why they won't be interested in a guy like Ryan O'Hearn.
Thank goodness.
For any other reason, but they'll more likely be looking for a guy who swings from the right side of the plate, who swings with power.
O'Hearn bats left, too,
I gotta be honest. Who does? Yeah, O'Hearn's a lefty. That's why I said they won't be interested in him. My best guess right now is none of those guys are full-time starters by the time August 31st hits, and that they find three replacements either in-house. But, like, are they really going to bring in three people? So, like, I have to lean towards two. Who keeps the job? Whoever plays the best from today until August 31st.
Yeah, I think there's six guys that have a spot for the rest of the season, and the rest is open. The rest, assuming health, the six names we mentioned. And, yeah, I think Isbell absolutely will be part of this for the long haul this year. He's played well enough. He's been one of their better hitters, and he's got a great glove in center field. So it's the six.
And you can only replace so many people. Does that, you know, like, yeah. I've been happy with Kyle Isbell's play. I don't know what more you'd be necessarily looking for. I understand he doesn't come with a lot of power, but he does what you would expect a nine-hole hitter who plays well defensively in center to do. He's done what he's been asked to do this year, which is more than I can say for a number of other offensive players. I guess really the thing is you would think they would go with a more natural outfielder to go with it, because, like, Michael's got to stay in the lineup now. So Michael and Indy are staying in the lineup no matter what. That pushes Massey to the outfield if you start getting the numbers crunch. And if you're going to go to the outfield, Waters is the more natural outfielder. So do you trust him or his bat more?
I mean, those names at the bottom that we just mentioned there, how many are still with the big league club by then too? I mean, there's a reality, and I hope obviously Massey, you know,
I would doubt Rave.
There's a very good chance Massey as well. They could not be with the big league club in a month from now, even let alone 2 months from now. There's a real chance that, what, based
Waters
off
seems
performance,
to have solidified himself for
now.
But
Massey and Rave, like, those guys could be sent down at some point.
I also just don't think he's untouchable, right? Like, I don't think that, like, based on, like, what we just talked about, I don't think that Waters is none of those guys are untouchables. That's for sure. The most established player is Michael Massey. So, like, you would think he'd have a leg up over the rest of the guys just because he's the more established player. But of the three guys we just mentioned, he's also probably the one performing the worst over the course of this season. He wasn't in the lineup last night because they had a lefty on the mound. So
he was a late scratch.
He had the ankle or illness. That was ankle.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I think Urseg illness was
is sick. Yeah. There's a couple of late scratches and things like that. Urseg, crisis averted there. He's just sick. Sounds like.
When he didn't come in, I was like, what's going on here? We're going Schreiber, then we're going four out save with Estevez.
Four outs. Estevez was awesome, man. 15 saves. Let's go.
We keep talking about trading like Lorenzen. You know what their actual depth is the bullpen. I don't want to toss that out there, but, like, you could trade one of your bullpen arms. Like Zerpa's been pitching better-ish. He did give up a run.
It depends. Do you think Hunter Harvey's actually coming back in 2025?
Man, I don't know.
There's always something where the recovery is going a little slower than they thought. Unfortunately, he's had some bad injury luck the last 12
months. At this point,
I'm
just going to assume Hunter Harvey doesn't pitch for the Royals. I know.
It's the final year of his deal. We all know he got hurt last year. This year, he was off to a nice start. Then he's got some shoulder injury or whatever it is, and he's...
And he certainly wouldn't pitch high leverage, you know, right? We would think when he first came back, Hunter Harvey, you wouldn't just throw him back into the seventh inning.
No.
Because Schreiber is actually in a player that I was a little resident on, or reticent on. He's pitched pretty okay this year. I'm not saying he's a perfect pitcher, but like I've certainly been happy with the job he's done. It's going to be interesting. For as much as we're like, well, they're just going to fix the whole lineup in the trade, it's like six guys seem safe. Seven pretty much because I don't think they're replacing two guys. And then it's Jack Caglione, I think, seems like the lock. He went, you know, he hit well again last night. We might as well just play.
Mm-hmm.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
He bounced back. He bounced back after an 0 for 5 night right away. He got back
double,
after
3
it.
For 4. Mm-hmm. Now hitting 340. Back to hitting 343 in his 8 games in AAA. An 1151 OPS. For anybody who was doubting the...
You gotta love the bounce back,
though.
0 for
5. Immediate bounce back. He had an 0 for 5 3K day, and you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe they figured out a little bit of something. Immediately 3 for 4. Back to hitting 350. If he hits like this for another week, he will force their hand, and they will have no choice but to put Jack Caglione in the majors. They will not have a choice by mid-June.
They're in the middle of a two-week homestand in Omaha. So I figure, you know, what are the 2 weeks going to look like while he's in Omaha? He doesn't have to go back on the road. And then at that point in time, see where things are at. I mean, if he really turns it on again the rest of this week, then I think we could be having a conversation on Monday. But otherwise, I think it's like this two-week homestand in Omaha. While he's there, he's, you know, now he's finally seeing a different team, another team that's approaching, you know, him a little bit differently. When he struggled the other night, he was going up against a couple pitchers. One of them, I think, is like one of the top prospects for the Twins, and Corey Lewis, who's got a knuckleball, which threw him, you know, you don't see that very often, I'm sure. So that was maybe part of the equation. But that's also what they want. They want him experiencing new tests, new challenges, and see how he adjusts to them.
It seems like now the book is, because I saw Jeff Passan had a new article up at ESPN.com talking about Anthony for the Red Sox and Caglione, and just like the, hey, if these guys are so great and our teams are hovering in and around 500, why isn't this guy in the big leagues? And they still cite the one thing that obviously the Royals are still worried about. Passan claimed it's the reason why he slid down to 6 in the Major League Baseball draft, because every other part of his game screamed superstar. Chase rate. Everyone is worried about his chase rate. He's got like a 40% chase rate on 2 strike counts. He just goes too far outside the zone. It has not impacted him because he's so good and so strong, or his bat to ball skills are so good. You don't see him. He doesn't strike out as much as you would think for a guy that chases the amount. But I mean, I don't know, man. He went 3-4
at some point. At some point,
let him figure it out in the majors at some point, because he's not learning it down there.
At some point, they're going to do that. But for the time being, you would like to see him experience some new challenges in AAA and see if there's some improvement in those areas. But yeah, eventually, look, it's going to be undeniable. Like, we all know, it's not even a question anymore. Like, 2 months ago, it was like, oh, there's still a chance maybe he wouldn't be in the big leagues this year. Like, nobody's questioning that anymore. It's basically a lock at this point. He's going to be called up this year. Now it's just, is it 2 weeks from now or is it still a month from now? Is kind of where everybody, I think, has adjusted to.
Yeah, there's no more question of, if he plays well, he could get to the big leagues.
He's getting called up this year. We all know that now. And defensively is also something probably doesn't get brought up enough. You know,
he's been fine.
And I was listening to him actually talk a little bit yesterday, because he was on a stream with for Card Breaks. As you guys know, Cags is really into cards, and he was asked about his defense, and he was talking a lot about Rusty Koontz, who is going to work with him for like this 2 week period, basically, while he's in Omaha. Rusty is there specifically to help Jack Caglione, and we all know his track record and what he did for Moose and for Gordon. I guess Gordon, not Moose, it would be, but for Gordon in particular, and that's going to be something that's kind of like the final. I view that as like the final. All right, let's get him. Coached
now, let's
up
get
even
him
more
a real,
by Rusty Koontz when it comes to outfield play and go from there, because he's not had a ton of experience in the outfield, but at some point again, you just kind of have to just go with it, man.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, though, let's talk about Chris Bubich a little bit more, the options that they have with him and the best model for college football. Maybe there's an idea out there that makes more sense than we believe. That's coming up right here on Cody Ingold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. TNC supply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to the latest conversations going on at multiple conference meetings in the last couple days. A shift, perhaps, for how the college football playoff is going to work, and some agreements, some disagreements, obviously, with what that model could look like. There's a couple suggestions that are far more intriguing than others, at least for me, and we'll get into those and what it can mean for the three local colleges as well. But let's keep talking some Royals baseball to get us started here on a Thursday. And we were mentioning the rotation, the options they have because of how well Noah Cameron has been pitching. Chris Bubich is interesting because he is a top three pitcher in baseball right now, but he only has, what, a year and a half left of control for the Royals. And so what do you do? What do you consider?
You don't trade him this year. Let's just eliminate that.
Yeah,
I think that
it's an off-season conversation.
Reckless.
That's an off-season potential move. You know, you got to make a decision this off-season. Are you extending him, or I think are you trading him? And I guess they could go into the first half of next year and trade him at the deadline next year. That would
also be a possibility.
But imagine
if you, again, look like you're barreling towards being a playoff team like you have last year and have a good chance to do again this year, and then you trade away a guy still pitching great. That's a Pirates move, man. You don't want to look like these franchises that when they're winning, don't make those moves. You do those in the off season at the very least so that it's a little less noticeable.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're going to do it this year. So to me, it's an off season or at the All-Star trade deadline next year. If you're not going to extend him, and that's the question is, do you go ahead and extend him knowing his history? Obviously he's pitching great, but there's still his injury history there. He's 27. He'll be 28 when he potentially hits free agency, or 29, I guess, actually, when he hits free agency. I think it depends on how you want to go about approaching other guys that might be due for an extension. Now, they don't have a ton of money on the books in 2026. They've got a lot of flexibility, you would think, there. But if I asked you and gave you the option, maybe you say, hey, both. Sure. But let's say Chris Bubich or Michael Garcia. Who would you extend first?
Bubich.
See, I think Michael Garcia, considering the offensive issues right now, considering what he's been able to do, I think, and where he can play multiple positions, I would actually look at Mike.
Super expensive player.
Michael Garcia would be a little more intriguing right now to extend in the offseason than Chris Bubich.
So they both have the...
Because of the pitching development.
You've put investment in them. You've worked through these options, like you mentioned, like Noah Cameron or Avila or some of these other guys you've put money into or just the time into. And if you think you're the kind of team who can develop pitching now, an off-season trade would make the most sense. Because I would assume if Chris Bubich continues anywhere close to his current pace, you could probably get an off-season haul for him for the team that is willing to pay him. And there are plenty of teams, because starting pitching is hard to find, plenty of teams willing to pay him. And so I would guess you'd do okay. But here's why I would probably take the risk. Some of it is because I think Lugo's gone and Lorenzen's gone. And so I'm down to Cole Reagans, who I still have quite a bit of control on. A few years worth of control on. I'm feeling pretty good about that. And Waka, who I've only got 2 years of control on after this year, and he's getting older, maybe three, and he's getting a little bit older. Do I want to get into this? I know that, like, I don't like paying players just because they had one good year. Like, Chris Bubich's career is far different for the rest of this. He was a starter the first 3 years. He was like a 4.5 earned run guy. Then he was hurt out of the bullpen. And so it's been a little bit of time before we see him. But I think he found it. A lot of this just comes down to a simple belief that is, I think Chris Bubich found it. And for a starting pitcher, if you get anywhere close, not even this level, if he becomes a 3-starter, I think he's not going to be terribly expensive for a 3-starter. Because his history is still short enough, I don't think his contract's ballooned yet. He might just take the guaranteed dollars gold because they're on the table.
Yeah, I don't know where his mindset is at. And
I think it's possible. That's what I'm saying.
I do think it depends on what do you think his ceiling is. I think being realistic, despite Chris Bubich this year pitching like an ace, I don't think that's what he is, you know, the rest of his career now. So, is he, there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, but is he just a 3-starter? Put him in any rotation of baseball.
You got to think his ceiling's higher than that right now, smaller percentage.
But guys that are number 3 starters for the majority of their career, they still have outlier years where they pitch like an ace. Like that happens. I mean, heck, we just saw it last year. Now, I understand he was in the bullpen for a good chunk of his career, but Seth Lugo is probably actually, if we're being real, a number 3 starter, but he pitched like an ace last year. He was an all-star last year. He finished top four in Cy Young.
Was he second in Cy Young? He was pretty high.
You know, I think that's where, like, you can have a year where you pitch like a number one. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a number one your career now. I think Chris Bubich is a number 3 starter. So nothing wrong with that, by the way. But that's what this year you're getting more than that. But financially,
what's the going rate for a 3-starter right now?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Because you are taking the injury risk and everything else in between. So is it $25 million a year, $20 million a year?
I think they should extend both. Obviously, that's the simple answer. I just, if I gave you a choice between the two, like, I would be comfortable giving Garcia an extension at the end of the season. I think he gives you flexibility. I understand that he's having a better first half of this season than he had last year, and you're saying, I need to see more. I get it. I just think these are the type of players that you can extend, and they're not going to be huge contracts to take care of.
Let's say it's Seth Lugo's deal, but it's for an additional year. You'd mentioned Seth Lugo. He's a 3-starter, pitched like a 1. Let's say it's 4 for $60 for Bubich. In?
I would be.
Like, it depends on the number, it sounds like, for you, more than it's just about yes extension or no extension. It's more about where is his number now realistically in baseball. He's 27 years old. He'll be 28 at the end of the season. That's why I would take probably calls on him at the winter break. I'm not saying I'd do it, and I would definitely not do it till December, but, like, I'd pick up the phone and see what people are offering. You but I'd also ask his agent, especially in the small market, I'd also ask his agent what it was. What was Michael Wacha's deal? Was it less than Lugo's? And look, again, Lugo wasn't even a starter. So I got to assume it's more like 4 for 80.
Wacha is also 33.
For Bubic, maybe 5 for 100.
Yeah, Wacha is also 33 years old. So we got to consider that a little bit here.
What if it was 5 for 100 years, for
Bubic? 3 years, $51 million.
Okay, so more
28
than
is a team option.
Okay, so like we got to think that it's above that. I got to think $20 million a year for Bubic, even with his limited sample size, right? So if it's 3 for 60, are you in? 4 for 80? Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. It starts to get into like crunch time where you're like, oh man.
I think some of this is where you have to make a decision internally. If you're going to talk about trading in the offseason, how confident are you in your pitching development that you got other guys that are going to be coming up in the next year or two? Also, how are you treating realistic? I know fans always playoffs. How are they truly treating 2026? You know, do they view that as a reset-ish year? Or, you know, to me, when you have Bobby Wood Jr. under contract for only X
I'm
amount
not reset
of years.
Never.
Exactly. I'm totally with you.
Every year he's on my team, I'm going for
100%.
It.
I think to me, that's absolutely something you have to do. So we'll see. I think you and I are on the same page in terms of like, if you're going to trade a pitcher this year to get a bat, it's not Chris Bubic. You need him in this rotation.
No,
this
Lugo,
year.
Reagans, Bubic. I would even take Lugo off my list. The only guys I would entertain trading if I were the Royals, Lorenzen's the key choice, and you're not only going to get so much back for that, understandably.
Right.
And I would consider Lugo even more than Noah Cameron. Too much cost control. If I'm a small market team and we're talking about, someone said, open up the checkbook, pay both. Pay Mike Helling, pay Bubic. Well, that's fine, but then I need guys like Noah Cameron making nothing.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to just become the Padres under their previous owner, and all of a sudden they got a $300 million payroll.
Yeah.
$80 million
at Bubic. Let somebody else probably do that.
You're willing to let somebody else take that risk? You get prospects back and hope?
That's a little scary.
Meanwhile, over in the SEC, we spent a lot of time talking about Sankey, but now the rest of college football is also involved in this. How do we handle 16-team in a college football playoff model, and which one seems to be the most fair? The one that seems that's gaining the most steam at the moment is the 5+11 model. Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, has said he'd be okay with that model, even though, as Drew pointed out, he pretty much openly admitted it could mean less teams for the Big 12, given the year, although I have a hard time imagining the Big 12 most years will not have two of the top 16 teams in the country. So, like,
they would only have had one last year.
For real?
Yes.
Ugh. Yeah, because Iowa State was ranked.
Iowa
like
State was 17, and Arizona State was like 14. Yeah. I mean, it was. But again, that's because the league's so competitive.
Just pretending like they won't rig it and make them 16 in the year when it's because this is the way the NCAA tournament works.
But there would be at least one that gets in, of course, because the AQs. The five AQs would be the four power conferences and then the best group of five schools.
And you still get the group of five.
That still is included, but it does make it likely that less Big 12 teams would get in just because the
big... Well, it was a down year for the Big 12. But yeah, sure, that's fair.
It's because the conference is so competitive, though. I think that's the reason why it hurts the Big 12. Is if K-State won 10 games and made it to the conference title game and lost, but they still had 10 wins and they were 10-3, they'd still probably be in.
It's the most fair model, though.
I think the 5+ the one there.
It makes sense.
Yeah, or 5+11, I'm sorry, makes the most sense for them. I also think what you were saying about, hey, it's competitive. This goes back to just where we're at with the branding of each conference, the perception of each conference. If the SEC or if the Big 12 is competitive like they were, we say, man, they were really competitive. If the SEC has the same thing, what a dominant conference they have been all season long. In the Big 12, we just say it's a competitive conference when they have the year that they just had. If it was the SEC, we would say, oh my gosh, there's so many amazing teams in this
Penn
conference.
Penn State, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, all those teams had, Alabama had two or three losses. And then we're like, Big 12's competitive. Arizona State, only two losses. BYU, only two losses. Iowa State, three losses, just like Alabama. But we talk about them differently, way differently, as you pointed out, Gold, as conferences. Is this not the best model? Drew, of all the other ones you've heard, is there another one that you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe. I hate the 4-4-2-2. That's the worst. That's my personal nightmare. I think you either do the 5+1 or the 5+11, or you just do the top 16 teams.
Well, this is where I
forget the automatic qualifier, and if you're one of the 16 best teams, welcome.
I think Brett Yormark deserves a lot of credit for this because he could easily have taken the Greg Sankey route of all people being the most powerful man complaining, and Brett Yormark could have complained and said, the Big 12 isn't getting enough spots, and yada, 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 but He said, even though it's worth it to what you said earlier, Cody, it's worth it because it rewards on-field performance and the conference championship games still matter. That's where the expansion part is really, that's what makes me question things. But as long if you can keep conference championship weekend important, regardless of how it is, and the regular season games, all of them matter, that's the format that I want the most. And I think the 5+11 format or the best 16.
Because in the conference, still matters. Billing. You win the conference, you get your spot.
It fits that billing more. And the thing
they
about
they already want to dice that. They don't want to make you like an automatic home game or automatic bye. So like you get to be in the tournament, but if you're in the conference championship of the SEC, you're getting in the you're playing in the college football playoff anyway. Right, I mean, you're not like you're not getting the benefit you used to get. The AQ doesn't really matter in that spot, Drew. That's all.
The AQ doesn't matter for the SEC and the Big Ten as much as it does them getting the extra at-large bids, where them being a quote-unquote better conference will reward them. The thing about the Big 12 that sucks is the reason I say competitive and not dominant is because we don't. I think last year there was so much. Arizona State was picked dead last in the Big 12, and they ended up winning the conference. And BYU was also picked low and won the conference. There's not a big dog in the Big 12 anymore. No offense to K-State or KU. Texas and Oklahoma were the big dogs of that conference. They were the face of the Big 12. They don't have a face right now, and that's why
it's the national brand stuff.
That's exactly why people don't have that perception, where if you went off of the league that actually was the best in terms of competitive balance, the SEC was first, and the Big 12 was second. The Big 10 was third. The Big 12 was a better balanced league from top to bottom last year, which you could say made it maybe the, like, we know that Ohio State won the whole thing, but in terms of teams that would be in versus teams that would be out, are we sure that Arizona State wouldn't have beaten Indiana? Would BYU have beaten Indiana? And that's where you, of course, start the comparison between, you know, power conferences, where I think it'll be interesting to see how things pan out in regards to scheduling, because that is also a big thing that's come from these spring meetings, guys, is the scheduling aspect of should the SEC
those are
go
years
to nine
away,
games?
Though. That's years away, I think.
Or what are we doing in terms of non-conference schedule? Like there's a lot of figuring out to do, if you will, regarding the scheduling for particularly the SEC and the Big Ten schools, because the Big 12 is going to do what they're going to do and the ACC will do the same.
Truth is, they can't get taken seriously until they win championships, the Big 12.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, I think same that's fair. But the scheduling alliance stuff, I think, is years down the road, but the idea of getting everybody to play the same amount of conference games would allow you to have a real schedule balance to a certain extent. I know the SEC and Big Ten want to partner up, but
everybody's doing nine except for the SEC.
If everybody was at nine, you would be able to have like it wouldn't be NFL scheduling per se, but you could at least have something that resembles a little bit more of a balanced matrix across multiple years that makes sense.
How's in college football added more games? Just out of curiosity.
Don't give them any ideas.
Season
already starts August 30th and goes till January 5th.
They shouldn't add
season already
more.
Is pretty darn long.
But they always have like weirdo double buys and nonsense in the middle of their schedule. And don't hide behind the college athlete nonsense. That's been so far out the window for so damn long. Don't lie to me. I'm not an idiot.
But I think it's just the way that things have been, and you don't need...
Teams always have games,
I don't think you need more.
You'd make a lot of money. I'm surprised that hasn't come up, more games. Because that's how you solve the nine games, Gold. You get your nine games, and here's the extra non-con game, because now, instead of playing X number of games, we play one more.
Yeah, but then you get into the non-con. Okay, are the non-cons going to be against another, you know, Power 5 school? You willing to do that, or are they going to be against, you know, Drew's Missouri State squad?
There should be a rule, because like Brian Kelly said, the SEC should play one Big Ten school. That idea, I can listen to it, but it also is stupid in the same concept, where you could actually really kill your season. If you play a good Big Ten school and you lose and you're 8-4, you're not making the playoff. You're not in the top 16. I don't care if you played a good Big Ten school or not. But there should be a requirement that you don't play any and by cupcake, I mean FCS school. Like, if you want to play Akron, fine. But LSU should not be playing Southeast Louisiana, who are in the FCS. Shouldn't happen.
I guess that is part of, like, the games. It's like, there's so many throwaway games in college that mean absolutely nothing.
Like, South Carolina's playing Citadel, which is a military school
this year.
They're
always complaining about the schedule. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to fit in all these games. I'm like, I don't know. Stop playing, like, schools I've never heard of. Yeah. Like, that might solve part of your issue. It is what it is.
But hey, the SEC is the best conference, so we can afford to have a game against the Citadel, and it's okay, because the SEC is better than everybody else. I think it's just a really wacky complaint to have when you're in charge of everything to actually play the victim is pretty sad.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we will get to the latest on the stadium front. A statement put out by the Royals yesterday. What does it all mean? What is actually happening there? And I do think some of you do owe somebody an apology, as a matter of fact, a little bit for how that was all reported a couple months ago. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes or so. But you are saying there's an all-time bad take that was floating around around the NBA in the last 24, 48 hours.
Or we can just start applying it to everything in life. I'll tell you that here in just a second. Kendrick Perkins was talking about the NBA. He was talking about Anthony Edwards. Yep. He was talking about him leading into this game before he's eliminated last night because the Thunder are an unstoppable force at the moment. And he was talking about why he can't be the face of the league and had an interesting opinion about why.
You got to check the boxes when you're the face of the league. Yes, we know you got to have your signature shoe. You're going to be in commercials. You're going to have the highlights. You got to have the game. But you know what else you got to have? You got to be a role model, right? And things outside the lines matter. Now, if you go down the list of all the faces of the league in the history of the game, you look at Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, LeBron, Steph, what did they all have in common? While they was playing in the league, they all were family men. They all were married with kids. And if you think that don't play a role as far as the role model, this is facts. This is not something that I'm making. Hold on. This is not something that I'm making up. Now, what happened to them after they retired? That's their business. But while they are playing or was playing, they were family men.
Got to be a family man to be the face of the
NBA.
Are we
sure that this is Michael Jordan was gambling on the side.
Family man. He had kids and a wife.
Look, if you want to just say that you got to be, you know, not in trouble all the time and you know, viewed as somewhat as a decent person and be the face of the league, I understand that part. The idea that you have to be married with kids to be the face of the NBA is where I'm like, what? You lost me at that point.
I got to say, I think you have to be married with kids to be the face of this show.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I don't think it works unless you're married. I can think about the kids that might listen to this show, you know? You got to be married with kids. God, who does that eliminate? Tough. Drew, you are married, but no kids.
Correct.
Oh my God, I'm married with kids? This works out great.
It's perfect for you. It's perfect. I the beginning portion of what he said, I don't disagree with, but he lost me at the end. He completely lost me at the end with that requirement. He says, you know, like, you know, the role model stuff, we can debate that all day long. But if he was constantly getting in trouble off the court and all this kind of stuff, yeah, it's tougher to be the face of the league, marketable and all that.
I don't think it'd be John Moran to be the face of the league on the constant nonsense you get your name involved
but
in.
It's not
having kids.
But it's not because you're not married with kids. Anthony Edwards reportedly, yeah, I mean, there's been all these stories like about, you know, his off the field, you know,
there was a rumor that like he just tried to like pay for all of his child support up front. Did that really happen?
So I think that is true, but also
I don't know if that was a rumor or not.
I think also he had to have a restraining order put out on this woman because she was bothering other Timberwolves players during the postseason.
That ain't great.
But no, I think so if you're Kendrick, then based on
talking about Kobe's dating history is not great.
Based on Perk's model in terms of what the face of the league should be, then SGA is the perfect example. He's married, he has a kid, he just won MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the face of the league then for Kendrick Perkins. Like that is all the criteria.
The idea that you have to be a married family man to be the face of the league is so absurd. Like, it's just an unnecessary qualification.
I think he's incorrect. Yeah, I mean, plain and simple. And then the other guys on the set with him were like very confused.
They were all just like, dude, he's like, let me finish. You're like, I'll let you finish, but I mean, this is not going to go well for you. Once we all get a chance to talk.
All right, up next, let's talk about the stadium front. The Royals put out a statement yesterday. What does it mean? I think timing is everything with this. We'll explain that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.